everybody, and welcome back to What's in the Box, where we talk about what we're playing in Cube and what you should be playing in yours. I'm one of your hosts, Quad Nines, and here with my co-host, Zakil.
What's going on, everybody? We have a sweet show today. Get to talk about Commander. This is our Commander set review. We get to talk about the Legendary Cube. And then we have actually a little special topic today. I just came back from GP Seattle, so some quick stories on that. So definitely a fun show planned out.
Yeah, I was really, really happy this time of year because, you know, you got the new fall set that's kind of set in, and then the new Commander product. There's always usually a gem or two for Cube, and I'm really jealous you're getting to go play the Legacy GP. It's always better than Standard.
It was a great time. I had a bunch of fun. This year's Commander product didn't have, we didn't have the true name or, the Toxic Deluge, which I think Deluge is probably a more appropriate power level, but I think it was still good. We got a couple good cards that I think will really spice up most people's cubes. But I think probably for the overall health of Magic, we should probably not continue the streak of ridiculous cards in these supplementary sets. But I'm kind of sad still. I wanted another true name.
Well, at least something like, I mean, I guess we'll go over it in a minute, but dual caster mage is really sweet in Cube. It's not really good in Legacy. You got Containment Priest. It's, pretty solid card. And then you had stuff like Edric in the first Commander set that, sees some play. But yeah, there's still some pretty good cards. There's not that one that's way above all the rest of them. So.
Mm-hmm. But all right, so I guess we just should probably just get into the GP. So I live in Seattle. I'm from Seattle, and of course, GP Seattle was this last weekend. It was Legacy. It was an amazing time. I did not do too well in terms of the tournament. I went 3-3. Well, yeah, my final record was 3-3 after I had dropped. And my third loss was ineligible for day two, and I'd been playing since from 9 to 5 p.m., and I was, so tired. There was no way I was going to keep going. But it was an amazing time. I got to play Legacy Lands, and Drew, loaned me some cards that I was missing, so him and a couple of the buddies helped me finish the deck together at the last second so I could play. Thank you so much for that. It was a sweet experience. I've never been to a Legacy Grand Prix. I've been to a Sealed Grand Prix before, and in terms of the vendors, in terms of the general attitude and just collection and trade binder value, it's way different. Mm-hmm. I was walking through, the first day I was just walking through the vendors and just kind of walking around and seeing what was going on. And every single vendor, every single one had at least one Lotus. Most of them had three or four, and everything was there was just power everywhere. Sealed beta and alpha booster packs, all kinds of crazy stuff. I brought my GoPro with me, so there's a small vlog I'll have. So that should be fun. You'll be able to see kind of just what I was seeing during the entire time. I got to get Blood Mooned to get kicked out of the tournament, going back to that. I was playing lands, and my opponent went turn one Chalice for one, and then turn two Blood Moon. I was like, all right, I'm done.
I kicked out of the tournament and flipped the table, right?
the dream is over, boys. But in the good news, Lands won the GP. So I got to live through someone else.
Hey, that's always good. At least you got to Merit Lodge some people, didn't you?
Yeah, I got to kill a bunch of people with that. And the best moment of the tournament, I think, is I was playing against Sneak Attack. And end of his turn, I make the Myriad Leech token with Thespian Sage and Dark Depths. I untap and attack, and my opponent goes, all right, I've never, ever done this, but this is just so I get another draw step. And he sneak attacks in an Emrakul just to block the Myriad Leech so he doesn't die. That was sweet. I've never seen that before. And he was like, I can't believe this is happening. For those interested in Legacy, I think the best card in my deck in that tournament, I made a slight meta call. I mainboarded Bajuka Bog and Caracas, just because I was expecting more broken decks. I was expecting a lot of Reanimator and Show and Tell, or Sneak Attack / Snow and Tell, or Omnitell / Sneak Attack, or just that kind of general deck. And I only played against it once. But Bajuka Bog was putting in so much work against Rug Delver, because Nimble Mongoose doesn't do anything when it doesn't have Threshold. Tarmogoyf doesn't do anything when it doesn't have, but it's a 2-3. So I mean, it was insane. I'm trying to think what else happened. Burn, I got completely owned by just because Eidolon of the Great Revel is pretty good. Yeah. You have to cast Life from the Loam at least twice to get some, you know, some card pool to work with. You're taking a lot of damage. But, you know, it was just a great time. The overall experience was fun. It was in Tacoma. I spent a lot of time in Tacoma, so, you know, I was really comfortable with the city and didn't have too many problems. But the artist appearance was sweet. Nils Hom. This was his second North American Grand Prix. He's from Germany, so this was the second time he's ever been to North America in terms of Magic. So he was there. He was the featured artist. I had to wait an hour in line to get him to sign my Delver, or the couple of Delvers and Baleful Strix that I had. I missed out because I had gone on the third day for most of the artist signatures, and he had like all these cool prints and custom tokens. I was really, the one thing that I wish, if I would have done this at the beginning, I would have bought a custom token from him. He had tokens that he didn't even do like the original card art for, so he had like Voice of Resurgence tokens that he hand painted personally, like one ofs. Mm-hmm. They were insane. They're like $50 or $60 from him, but it's from like just from the artist, and it was ridiculous. He had that, and then of course like Prince. I also didn't know he did Gilder Baron, and I have a foil Gilder Baron.
Oh yeah, that card's sweet. Yeah,
I was like, well, yeah, I was like, well, what? So of course I missed that, but he was just such a nice guy. We were waiting in line for so long, but he was entertaining the crowd and just really fun. And of course, you know, the classic, Jesper Mythers. I don't know how to exactly pronounce his last name, but him and Mark Poole and Chris Rush.
Yeah, Jesper did, was it Trop
Island? Yeah.
He did one of the dual lands.
He did Trop and Scrubland? No. I feel like he did two. Because Mark Poole was on the original Trop, but he didn't do it. So if you look at like an Alpha Trop versus a revised Trop, Mark Poole's on the old one, and then Jesper is on the new one, but on the newer one when they changed the artist accreditation. But it was just cool. You got all kinds of stuff like that. Who else was there? There's so many people. The guy who did Kiki Jiki, I got my Kiki signed. Here we go. I have my cards here. Pete Venters.
Yeah.
RK Post had, like I was saying in the last cast, the limited edition Kurt Cobain tokens. They sold out. I was like one of the last people to get them. People, like, there was actual demand for this. I was pretty surprised. He had 200, you know, limited 200 print run tokens. And then Zach Stella was there. And Chris Ron. I couldn't get to Chris Ron's line because it was too long, but Zach Stella got to sign. I had a couple of true names and stuff like that. So it was sweet. I mean, I had a lot of fun. Of course, did some side events. I got to play a draft. I came second. My friend beat me in the finals. It's kind of annoying, but I got a Morningtide pack and an Innistrad pack and pulled Escape Shift, which was pretty sweet.
Sweet, yeah.
And then in terms of collectibles, they had the Jones Soda Company made a special soda for the Grand Prix. So there's a Delver soda out there that I got. It's pretty cool. Just random memorabilia from the Grand Prix is really fun. So I had a great time. I will be uploading a deck tech, a vlog, a pickups video this coming week of the Grand Prix. If you guys want to check it out, check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MerfolkMagic5. So yeah. What's been happening with you recently in terms of Magic?
Pretty much nothing. I got to, the best thing I've got to do is play some Innistrad flashback drafts on Magic Online and run into just the nut deck in the finals with like three unbeatable vampires, but it's still fun. I love drafting that format. I'm actually a little bit worried about the new Innistrad set coming out in the...
Yeah, I was going to say that, right? Yeah. Shadows over Innistrad was, since our last episode has been announced. What are your initial thoughts about that?
I'm hoping it's, they do it better than they did Battle for Zendikar, as far as like, comparative power level. Like, I don't expect there to be a Liliana the Veil in there, but, I don't know. It's just like I have such fond memories of that I just don't want them to screw it up, and I'm thinking they probably will because Innistrad Standard was really strong.
That's my favorite standard ever, to be honest. I've only been playing since that standard, but that seeing, like, that Jund, that was actually, like, almost the equivalent of modern Jund, like, in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Really was.
It was insane.
Well, you just had just so many value cards and you know, Innistrad and then Dark Ascension. Absent Restored, while a very bad draft format, was pretty darn good for Construct, you know, Resto Angel, of course, but, you know, you had Tameo, Gristlebrand.
The best reanimation target the world has ever seen.
Yeah, which actually didn't get played a lot in Standard, but if you ever got him in play, he just felt so good. So,
yeah. I mean, no, it was, I completely agree. Battle for Zendikar was, like, I feel like it was a cop-out that we got Expeditions looking back, pardon me. Just because, like, we really haven't got, since Thoughtseize, I can't think of a standard card that's actually been, like, insanely good. Brimaz is really good, Keranos is really good, but,
mm-hmm.
Okay, other than Jace. Jace is different, though. I don't think they intentionally thought Jace would be good.
Yeah, it's actually making formats more expensive, not like reprinting or printing something like stuff left. I don't know. Like I said, hopefully they do Innistrad right. I hope they bring Flashback back.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's a graveyard themed deck, because I really think it should be. That's mm-hmm. one of the best things about it. But yeah, like I haven't been able to play a whole lot of Magic Live, played a couple games of Commander, which led to me building the most hateful blue-red deck I've ever thought of. So, like, Blood Moon is, like, the nice card in the deck.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that. But, yes, I've been really excited about the new Cube Editions with the Commander set, and hopefully when Oath of the Gatewatch gets spoiled, hopefully there's some more good stuff for it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that said, let's just jump right into it. Commander 2015. We got a total of 56 new cards, I believe. 56.
Yeah, 56. Now, of course, you can, I think, just looking at it based on mechanics and or, you know, the wording of cards, you can probably pull like 20, 25 of them as like not cube playable without even reading their stats.
Mm-hmm.
Like any of the cards have Myriad, which is basically a multiplayer effect. They're not really worth anything to play. There's a command beacon or anything that references the command zone. Some of them may be playable, but they're just not good.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's some that have like experience counters, which technically could do something, but it just seems really bad for, you know, cube play. But yeah, there's some really good, there's a couple good cycles in here, and I'm really excited about a couple of cards.
Yeah. The reprints were okay. I can't complain, to be honest. They weren't terrible. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they were crazy, but we did get Lightning Greaves. It's pretty cool. Of course, we got a million Soul Rings again. That's always good. And then I'm trying to think. There was one card, I believe. We got Preordain, which is not insane, but Preordain. And then there was a green card. What was it? The Ewit. Ewit was pretty cool.
Yeah, Ewit's going to be in the two green decks.
And Skullclamp.
Skullclamp. Oh, yeah, a couple of green decks are just value. Like, one of them's, I think, Lightning Greaves, Skullclamp, Ewit, and a couple other cards. But, yeah, there's some good reprints. Nothing at Gisela, which was randomly like an $11 card.
Some
people play it in their Boros section because, you know, Boros is, outside of the first two or three cards, is kind of light on cube playables.
They reprinted the Angel from RTR,
Jill, that's one.
Oh, no, the other one. They reprinted Angel of Serenity.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Sorry, it doesn't matter, but I was like, all right, we could have got a better mythic out of this slot, but.
I don't know, gee, what's the thing they skipped like 18 times? Glenvala, that's like $40? And they keep reprinting Iona that nobody wants to play with in any format. But, yeah. But, you know, Angel of Serenity, sure, whatever. It was like $3, so it was way.
It was less than that. I looked the day before. The day it was spoiled, I looked.
Gosh. I thought it was at least $3. I remember when that card was, like, seriously 25 in Standard.
Yeah.
There's a four of them, like, three different decks. But anyway. Okay, Well, so how many, like, not counting reprints, how many cards are you looking at trying right now? Just, you know, round
about
number.
Four or five.
Four or five? Okay.
Well, one, two, three, four. Yeah, about five. There's a couple, so I think there's two or three cards that I believe are must-haves, but I haven't, the generals I haven't been able to look at too much, to be honest.
I think there's two that are playable. Mm-hmm. The Boros Angel and the Simic Snake. Mm-hmm. Just because they're powerful cards by themselves and they kind of go in a deck that would want them. Like I said, of course, experience counter ones aren't really worth having. And you might could put the Orzhov, the Ghost Council card in something, but I just, I don't know. It's not really. I had a test with it. The other two, I'm pretty sure you could play with. I'm not sure about the Orzhov one. But there's some play in the commanders, I suppose.
Well, let's start it off here. What is your favorite of the 10?
It'd be the Anya Merciless Angel.
Okay.
It's 5 mana. It's 3 and red white. For 4/4 flying angel. She's legendary, of course. But she gets +3/+3. It says for each opponent whose life total is less than half of their starting life total. Of course, in cube, I guess you can play multiplayer cube. We've talked recently about, like, two-headed giant, maybe giving that a try. Some, like, people in the Joy of Cubing, they were talking about, they really like playing two-headed giant sometimes. But yeah, at worst, you know, it can get that +3/+3 bump when you get your opponent to 10 or less, so it'd be a 7/7. And at the same time, if your opponent gets below 10 or below life, it becomes indestructible. So I think it'd be a good curve topper for your Boros, just aggro burn decks. Cause, you know, a lot of times you get them down to 10 or 9 or 8, but then you can't finish them off. And a 7/7 flying indestructible angel seems pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So. I agree. Boros, I was looking at my Boros section the other day, and what do you think about Boros Reckoner?
It's like every time I have it played against me, it's usually all right, but like I almost never want to put it in my deck, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I feel the same way, and I remember because this card in Standard was absurd.
Oh yes, I mean
both ends, like when it came in and when it was leaving in that mono red deck, but. I'm really kind of falling out of love with this card, to be honest. I think Figure of Destiny, of course, Lightning Helix, the Johnny Vengeance, Boros Charm are all really, really good cards. But I'm struggling to find that last card. Like, I've wanted Boros Reckoner to be good for so long, but recently, now that I'm kind of moving away from the hype and, like, the mist around the card and the name, I think it's kind of starting to fall out of favor, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, it's like the cute cards that really combo with it, like your Blasphemous Act, you know, like the combo it had in Standard, and I think I've said it in Modern a little bit, but, you know, where you can deal 13 to it and redirect to your opponent, you know, stuff like that. You're usually not in cubes. I mean, I guess you can, like, Earthquake them for 10 and kill them with it in play, but, you know, like I said, it's not as good as I once thought it was, for sure.
Yeah, so that was definitely looking at the Angel. I think it's a really good card. Just like you were saying, when I read the card, it says the first one is for each opponent, like you were saying, and the second one is for a single opponent.
Yeah,
so I read it.
One of them is, yeah.
I was so confused. I was like, wait, what is happening? But I mean, a 4/4 Angel for 5, just on base stats alone, is still nothing to scoff at. I think it's pretty strong.
Yeah, and, you know, it basically says if you get your opponent down to 10, it becomes a 7/7 indestructible.
Yep.
Seems okay.
Really good.
Yeah. It's like, I've definitely run out of burn spells and had them, you know, around the 5 to 7 range, like, and just, you've got 5 lands in play all of a sudden. You're like, well, I could use something. And it's hard to remove and hits pretty hard. Mm-hmm. You said you hadn't looked at any of the other general or legendary creature type things?
I did look at Azuri. I think Azuri is pretty cool.
Azuri, yeah, he's cool. He's one of the experienced counter ones, but it's just it does have like that, not so much a Craterhoof feel, but just, you know, getting value every turn, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. I think he's okay, but at the same time, the awkward thing I think about, when I think about him in Cube, the awkward thing is, are you going to be continuing to play more one drops after your four drop? I mean, it happens, but...
I guess it just makes your top deck mana dorks have more value, I guess. But yeah, like I say, if you're just casting Thragtusk from then on, I guess you're probably okay. But you want to get that value when you can.
Mm-hmm. And what are you thinking?
The other Simic card, the Kasito, because I don't know how it's pronounced, but the Uruk-hai Archmage, the Snake Wizard, mm-hmm. which, you know, gets bonus points just for his creature types. But yeah, he's a 3 mana. He's 1 green-blue for a 2/2 Snake Wizard. But I like his ability. It's 1 blue, 1 green. Target creature can't be blocked this turn. If that creature is a snake, it's +2/+2. So you can get any of your creatures in, you know, unblockable. And if you do it on him, because it didn't say another target creature, he can target himself. He attacks as an unblockable 4/4 on turn 4.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, and I mean, there's random cards that are snakes. Mystic Snake.
That makes him a lot better, actually.
So can you imagine having Secure Tribe Elder out? And like, I don't think I'm going to sack him. I think I'm going to beat you for 3 in the face that you can't block. You know, just little stuff like that. And the only thing that makes me sad is that all of the Sadisis are Naga Wizards. Or zombie Nakas, because they're not actual technically snakes. But, you know, just like I said, him on his own can attack as an unblockable 4/4. So I think that's probably...
I completely missed that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I did either, but I completely forgot, didn't realize that he can attack himself for 4. That's pretty good.
And not to skip ahead too far, but there is a snake in this set that I think is kind of playable. It's kind of like an Aura and Viper meets Eternal Witness, but a little worse on both ends, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a snake, so we'll talk about it later, I guess. But, yeah, so there's a few snakes across Magic, especially like the Kamigawa block had quite a few. So, Okoye Oracle, if you play that guy, he's all the creature types.
He's like 3, isn't he?
He's a snake elf druid.
Mutavault.
Mutavault, yeah.
That's always...
Mutavault is definitely a snake.
Yeah, no, that's... I when I read that, I did not understand. Okay. That makes a lot more sense now. He is pretty good. The thing about him is I don't know... My Simic... I'm never cutting Shardos Agents. So it's just not happening.
Yeah, Simic's got tough over the last couple of years, for sure. To find a spot.
My flex spots are Mystic Snake and Prophet of Krufix. And you don't cut Mystic Snake if you're going to include this card.
No, that definitely wouldn't be.
Seems
backward
backwards, yeah. So I think I may swap out Prophet of Krufix just to see how this guy goes, because this is pretty sweet. I like the way that these kind of tempo-y cards are coming out. Because you'd really be surprised how annoying it is, or how much damage and how quickly you die if you can't block.
Oh, yeah. Like, anybody that ever played, like I said, Innistrad Limited, and they have, like, some, like, an Invisible Stalker, and they put anything on it at all, and it just, you're like, okay, I've got 5 turns, I've got 4 turns, I've got 3 turns, and, like, you just, all of a sudden, you're just dead. So, and this guy's not Hexproof, of course, but him being able to, like, pass around the bump and the unblockable, like, even if you don't have more stakes, he's still making these guys unblockable for 2 mana. Mm-hmm. So, it's instant speed, of course, but, and... randomly can kill your opponent's Phantasmal Image. So,
yeah, that's good. All these points are very valid. I was, once again, did not even think about that.
Well, with the templating lately, they'd be like creatures you control, and I'm just like, but he could kill Phantasmal Image if it didn't say that.
Yeah, they do. I've noticed that one of the points that I've heard in another cast, back again, shouts out to Joy of Cubing, was the quarantine field.
The
quarantine field can only exile your own, I think it's permanence? Or there's something about it.
It's stuff that you don't control.
Oh, you don't control. That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like you're saying, templating, I'm getting used to seeing these very underpowered things, but yeah, I'm happy. What do you think about Marin of Clan Nel Toth? It is one of the experience ones.
Yeah, for one thing, the art is super awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was going to be like some alternate art for like a female Deathrite Shaman, and it kind of is, but it's not Deathrite Shaman, obviously. But the art is really great. Being able to bring back cards from your graveyard to your battlefield can be broken. And I like things that can be broken. So,
you get a guarantee your Ray is dead.
Yeah.
Every turn.
Well, it's whenever another creature you control dies, which there's a you control or you don't control, but, you know, there's a couple decks in Cube that, you know, really like sacrificing or have, like, say, if you had an, Awakening Zone or what's the new one, From Beyond, making Eldrazi spawn or sign tokens you can sack on at will, you know, that thing could definitely get out of hand. And I don't know, well, just, yeah. I like bringing stuff back to play. Or otherwise put it in your hand. So
yeah. Well, I mean, every end step, you get at least the Raise Dead.
Raise Dead, yeah.
This is insane. And then if not the Raise Dead, you just get the full reanimate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's pretty good. I've seen a couple people on the forums say that they want to change it or replace Abrupt Decay with this card, and I don't think that's correct. But I think I'm going to give him a try. He doesn't seem like a slam include, but he just seems interesting. I've been on trying different things because a lot of cubes that I've drafted in my cube is starting to get slightly stale to me.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's different.
Just throw in something. So, I'm excited. Is there anything else here? Like, Daxos, you can't play in cube because it's relative to enchantments. The Ghost Council is alright. It's a bit awkward, but it's somewhat playable.
I don't have as much of a life gain theme. I mean, I know there's some white cards that have lifelink and whatnot, but it's definitely a super build around me card. And you know, granted, it's a 2/2 for two, but you know, it's got abilities. You want to be able to activate them, and you just can't unless you definitely have life gain and stuff. Now the Sphinx on its own is a 6-mana 5/5 flyer, which you know, okay. That's all right. There's better ones, of course. There's 4/6 flyers that draw you cards every time your opponent draws. but this one is whenever you cast a spell, you can put the cards in your hand on the bottom of your library and then draw that many. I'm sure there's decks that you could really abuse that in. But that being said, my Is It section is just about as crowded recently as my Simic section. So
I think
that's what I'm wanting to cut right now.
I agree.
But yeah, just even with the 2 or 3 that we mentioned, I think it's pretty good choices on stuff to try out.
I actually don't think it's possible at the power level right now to replace any of my Is It cards. I just, like, between Dak Faden, Electrolyze, Keranos, and then you have a variety of other spells. Dax Duplicate I play, Fire Ice is very good, and you can, there's just so much to choose from. I don't even play Ral Zeric just because I want one per guild, but Ral is still very good. Like, he seems fine, like you said, but he doesn't draw 2 cards when your opponent draws a card, kind of thing.
Yeah. Actually, looking at the other Is It guy, you know, if you have a Storm package, you might consider him.
Yeah, Combo Cube, he's nuts. Combo Cube, that guy is insane. I think that's it.
Pretty much. Like, I think going down to, there's a cycle. I'm looking at Mythic Spoiler like we usually do. Right below the multicolored commander cards, or, you know, legendary creature cards, there's a cycle of confluences. And they're really interesting because they're all modal cards. They have different mana cost, and some are instant, some are sorcery, but they all say choose 3, and you may choose the same mode more than once. Which I love modal cards because you very rarely dead draws.
Yep, I agree. What do you think about Righteous Confluence? For those of you guys who don't know, it's a sorcery, 2 white, 3 colorless, and the 3 effects are: you can put a 2/2 white knight creature token into play with vigilance, you can exile an enchantment and gain 5 life.
Like I said, it's, you know, at worst, it's a sorcery speed 5 mana for 6 power and 6 toughness across 3 bodies with vigilance. So.
I thought you were going to say 15 life, but yeah.
Against a burn deck, I mean, that just says I win.
Sure.
We're not dealing that many, but, that's probably in case of emergency break glass mode. Whereas most time you should be like, I'll take 2 guys and blow up your Mirar's Way or just Eidolon of the Great Rebel, for example. You know, some gem it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it seems okay. It's not my favorite, probably not my second favorite of the group, but it's definitely something I'd want to look at, just because it can do different things that different white decks want to do. Like, a lot of them just really like the beat down. Sometimes you just want a blocker or two, but it being able to exile the enchantment, exile being key, because I do play a couple of the gods in my cube now.
Yeah.
So being able to get rid of them for good is pretty large. The game 5 life is meh, but when it's good, I bet it's really good. So.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's definitely on the lower end in terms of power level, but I don't... Like, the thing about white is that within white, there are decks that just want to be doing so many different things. Like, are you ever going to play Isamaru in the same deck that you play... I don't know. Gideon Jura?
Probably not. If you are, something went wrong somewhere. I mean, you could, I suppose. You get their entire team to swing in so you can kill them on the swing back. But yeah, those don't really mesh together. So yeah.
I mean, there's just... I think that when you evaluate it, you just kind of have to look at the control, the hate bear, and then kind of just the straight aggro. Like the mid-range white-green style decks, and then the straight white weenie. But I think it's fine. It's nothing crazy, but it's fine. But... We have a crazy one, though. We have a big one.
The blue, of course, is my favorite. If you didn't already know that, just because I love blue. But, yeah, Mystic Confluence, pretty spicy, pretty spicy. Would you say it is Cryptic Command Light?
Okay, I was actually going to ask you, and which one do you think is better? Because I've heard arguments, and in some cases...
In some cases, this one could be better.
I think this one is better in certain cases. But, the only reason I think this is a debate is because it only costs 2 blue.
Yeah, it's much easier to cast, even though it is 1 more mana. It's more castable in a lot of decks.
There are times where I am completely screwed just because I can't find the 3rd blue mana.
Yep.
With that said, I don't think it's more powerful, but I really like this card, but what was your question again? Pardon me.
Oh, is this Cryptic Command Light or Cryptic Command Fat? Because, like I said, it is 1 more mana, and it is, you choose 3 things. Not quite as good, obviously not quite as good on the counterspell part, because I guess I should read it. Choose 3, you may choose one, the same mode more than once, that's the same for all these confluences, but one is Mana Leak, Unsummon, and Draw a Card. Those are your choices. Not worded that way, but
I know you like draw a card.
Draw a card are my favorite 3 words of magic, but well, you know. I mean, 5 mana, draw 3 cards, instant speed. That's a magic card.
Yep.
You know, it's a 3-for-1. I like 2-for-1s, and 3-for-1s, I'm just like, sign me up. this one, I can just imagine them, you know, trying to swing in for lethal, and you're like, and they have some kind of pump spell or just anything. You're like, counter that. Bounce that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't draw a card and I still wrecked them.
Yep.
So this was definitely going in.
I think most people, this is a ridiculous card. It's going in. It doesn't. I've heard arguments in smaller lists. You should just replace Cryptic. I'm not on that boat.
No, probably wouldn't ever replace Cryptic. Like ever.
So call me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Gifts is that good.
If Gifts? Or
yeah,
Cryptic?
Gifts Ungiven.
Because oh,
I'm
yes,
just looking,
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
looking
yeah.
at swaps. So either I'm thinking about cutting Intuition, Gifts, something like that. And I just, honestly, Gifts Ungiven is a fine card, but the only time I ever use it is to reanimate something.
Yeah, like you have to get your Unburial Rites or your super... value, like if you had Eternal Witness and Snapcast, you're like, haha, you can't keep me from getting what I want. But yeah, Gifts is not near as powerful in Cube as it is in any other format.
So do you think I'd be crazy cutting Gifts for this card?
No. I would probably think more about cutting, like your last counter in or your last draw spell in. But if you like those, I wouldn't fault you cutting gifts. Cause like I've played random edit decks and like have gifts and like don't even play it.
Yeah.
So.
Would you rather play gifts or intuition?
I would rather play gifts, but I don't know. I guess it's because I like I'm funny. I like giving my opponent a unwinnable choice. Like it's the feel bads. Yeah, that makes me a bad person, but that's okay. I'm all right with that.
Gifts is one of the most skill intensive cards in Magic.
Yeah, it's not fact or fiction, but it feels just about as good sometimes when you have the right stack. Or like even if you just did get the nut draft, where like here's my Umbrella Rights, here's my Gristlebrand. What do you think I'm gonna do after this? After your end step? So, but yeah, I wouldn't fault you cutting gifts though. But intuition, well, for one thing, if you cut intuition, you can buy list it for more than you can of gifts and turn it into other sweet cards.
Exactly.
But that's just a slight point in gifts favor, but like I said, I've got a couple. I was actually thinking about cutting one of my worst draw spells for it, because this obviously could be a draw three. But yeah, I'm definitely going to have to look over what I'm going to cut for it, or I might just be silly and just add a card, because
hey, why not?
I do that sometimes, until at least I can play with them a few times, but yeah. But I definitely think if you don't try any other card out in this commander, you probably want to try to release this confluence out, because it seems really sweet.
Yeah, I think my top two are this guy and then a red creature that we'll get to in a second. I think those are my two by far have to include. But let's keep going. Wrenched Confluence. Three colorless, two black, instant. Same clause, you choose three. You can choose the same one. Target player draws a card and loses a life. Target creature gets -2/-2, and return and raise dead.
Mm-hmm.
So this can be a kill condition, or win condition, if your opponent's at three. You can make him draw three cards.
Yes.
I've seen that before, actually.
I have seen that, something like that. I've had somebody go, sign and blood you, blood gift demon you. I'm like, okay. I'm dead. Thanks for the cards. You know, against the aggro decks, it's just, you know, it's a 3-for-1. You're probably going to kill three cards, or three creatures. You know, worst case is it's that, what's that new card that got printed, Ruinous Path?
Yeah.
That can be a draw 3, lose 3. It costs more, but it's instant speed and, you know, but, I think all the modes on this are just good enough to make it okay. Of course, I don't like Raise Dead as a card, but when it's a third of a card, it's fine.
Yeah.
So,
I used to play Raise Dead in my first EDH deck. My first, like, years ago. This is funny.
Oh, I think I played, what was it? There's one in Innistrad, like Ghoul Callers Chant or something, where you can bring back one card. Or if you have two zombies, you can bring back two zombies. Yeah. Of course, there's a ton of cool zombies at the time. I'm like, yeah, getting this card. Value, 2-for-1. And I'm like, wait, I could have cast them from my graveyard, because one of them was Gravecrawler. That just didn't work at all. So, anyway. But, yeah, I like the black one. I think it's
pretty good.
It's worth playing as well, just because, like, being able to possibly kill three things, or kill a thing and draw a couple cards is all the value, so.
I'm gonna give this card a C+B- in terms of the overall scheme of Magic and Wrenched Confluence.
Is it Wretched or Wrenched? I can't.
Wrenched.
I think it's Wretched?
Wretched, okay. No, it is Wretched. I'm blind. It's okay. I mean, it's good. I think it's fine. It's not embarrassing at all. I think it's a fine card. I don't think it's 360 worthy, but.
No.
At the same time, I don't know who plays a 360 cube, to be honest.
Me neither. people that just haven't been playing their cube long, they just haven't put enough cards in it. But, yeah. The big thing is instant speed. If it's sorcery, you probably don't look at it, but it being instant speed, and all the, you know, the different choices it gives you. You know, just give it a shot.
Yeah.
Whereas the next one is the red one. Mm-hmm. While it is cheaper, it's Fiery Confluence. I was listening to Brainstorm Brewery, and this was like the first one's fooled, the Fiery Confluence, I think. It might have been the second. They're like, yeah, the blue one's going to be Watery Confluence. And they just, I think Corbin said that, and they just made fun of him. I'm like, no, that's not at all what they're going to call it. But anyway, Fiery Confluence is 2 and 2 red for sorcery. And it, these three modes are, deal 1 damage to each creature, which hits your creatures as well. 2 damage to each opponent. Of course, you should probably only have 1 opponent, but still. And destroy target artifact. I'm not crazy about this one, but I mean, it could be, it's Shatter with Pyroclasm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I guess you could, if you get your opponent down to 6, it just deals 6 damage for 4 mana, which is not the worst.
Yeah. The awkward thing about this is you don't really want to play this in a burn. I mean, you can play it in a burn deck, but like one of the modes is just automatically turned off because you're going to be playing, you know, 2 power creatures kind of thing if you're playing an aggro deck. You don't want to deal a damage to each creature. Obviously, the Shatter effect is excellent, and paying 4 mana for a Anger of the Gods.
Yeah, it could be Anger of the Gods. Slagstorm, I guess that technically.
Yeah.
An exile, but yeah, same difference. The 3 damage can do it. Take care of a lot of creatures.
It's okay. Yeah. I was super on this card, and now I'm super off. I was like, oh, wow, you can go Bolt into Searing Blood, or Searing Blade, or Lightning. What?
Searing Blood or Searing Blaze, either.
Anything, or Lightning Strike into the 3 mana, 4 damage with Spell Mastery, Exquisite Firecraft into Fiery Confluence.
Yeah, they're pretty dead.
I was like, it's good, but I don't think that kills them.
maybe they want Fetch Land, Untap Watery Grave into Ancient Tomb.
Yeah,
then they're dead. Yeah, Bob, then they're definitely dead.
Yeah.
But, like, actually, you know, this gets better in, like, a powered cube, strangely enough, because there's more good artifacts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like I said, I think the best rate you're getting is, like, if you deal 6 to their face for 4 mana. It is at sorcery speed, but, you know, that's kind of your baseline.
I think that's fine, yeah.
Yeah. It's probably worth trying, but I'm not going to be surprised if, like, it doesn't get played a lot.
All right, moving on to green, we have Verdant Confluence for 6-drop, 4 colorless, and 2 green. Sam Claus, put 2 1/1 counters on target creature, return target permanent card from your graveyard to your hand, and search your library for a basic land card and put it on the battlefield tapped. What do you think?
Well, I'm covering up the cost. It's 5 or 6. It's 6.
And 6.
It's the most expensive, and it's sorcery.
I think it's really bad.
It is. Like, I think by the time you get to 6 mana, you don't want a Rampant Growth. And, yes, the Eternal Witness effect is pretty strong. Be able to do that a couple times.
It's not EWIT, though. It's target permanent, not card.
Oh, yeah, you can't get a land or a spell. It's really bad. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad. it definitely is more the commander of the commander set, like, you know, this is something that would be very good in a lot of green decks in Commander, because mm-hmm. a lot of the green decks have to have counters more, and your things die more. Once you get 6 mana, you still want to go higher. Whereas in, I mean, yeah, I might have Ugin in my deck, but I don't really want Rampant Growth at 6 mana. So, it does get any basic, which is a plus, I suppose. But yeah, this is definitely probably the worst.
If it put in like 3 lands, do you think it'd be playable?
Oh, if it said land, yes, it'd be fine.
Okay.
Because, you know, you
cradles and stuff.
You've been playing Dark Depths all weekend, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, go get me a Dark Depths and a Thespian Sage and a Wasteland or just anything. Just sick. Yeah. But yeah, since it says basic land, it's just infinitely worse. at least it doesn't say forest. That's
yeah.
all I can say about it.
Yep. Moving on, I think, do we skip all the myriad creatures?
I think you pretty much do, because they're fairly overcosted for what they do. Like, the best one is, like, a Sierra Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Enemy
that is, yeah.
I mean, the green was like an 8-6 trample for 7, but it's the big pull on these is the Myriad, which doesn't, you know, usually doesn't trigger. If you're playing, you know, if you know you're always going to be playing multiplayer cube, you might put these in the own deck and bring them in, but it's not really a regular head-to-head cube card because the value's just not there.
All right. Do you see what's next?
Because I'm skipping down, to be honest. There's nothing here that's too crazy.
Yeah, nothing good until I get to the red creature you were referring to earlier.
Woohoo! I like this card a lot. A lot of people don't, but I'm excited.
I like the heart, too, if nothing else. The heart's cool.
I'm excited that red, we're slowly moving into that new direction of red.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly. We got Young Pyro, then Dual Caster, now Magus. We're getting there. So this is Magus of the Wheel. It's a throwback to Wheel of Fortune. It costs 2 colorless and a red, the same cost as Wheel of Fortune. And for 3-3, 3 mana for a 3-3, pretty good. But you can pay 1 red and 1 colorless, tap it, sacrifice it, and everyone Wheel of Fortunes. Each player discards his or her hand and then draws 7 cards. I like this a lot. This is actually, I think, very playable in Burn, especially in Cube, where it's probably a turn or two slower than Constructed. Mm-hmm. If you get a Goblin Guide and then you get maybe 2 other 1-drops or, you know, a 2-drop and you play this guy, a 3-3 for 3 is still going to beat someone's head in. And then once, you know, turn 4 or 5 when you're out of cards and you have 5 creatures, you know, 5 2-2s into play, you just attack and then sack him and keep going. I love this. Yeah. This card's insane.
I think this card's just basically what you're going to want. You can play it in any deck because it's just 1 red, like you said, and it's just, when you want to be aggressive, it's aggressive. When you need more cards, great. And occasionally, you know, your opponent tutors or something, you're like, nope, you can't have that. Go in your bin.
So. Well, that's just Burn, too. I want to play this in the same deck as, like, Young Pyro and Delvers and stuff, just for fun. Tempo, all right, I'm out of conditional counters at turn 6, but we'll just reload our hand. yeah, I like it.
It's definitely, like I said, this and the blue confluence are my favorite 2 cards. There's a couple other cards that are pretty good. What was your next one? Do you know?
honestly, I don't know too much else. But there is, so, Grasp of Fate.
Yeah, there's the, Joe Cuban's preview card.
Really good. 2 white and a colorless for an O-ring that targets each opponent.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing multiplayer, I like the recommendation a lot. I'm planning on trying, Two-Headed Giant and maybe a couple multiplayer games just to spice things up. And I think if you do that, you automatically swap out either O-ring or Banishing Light, whichever one. And, well, probably Banishing Light because it has the same exact text format for Grasp of Fate, because, you know, this card isn't as good in a single player, but if you can get 3, if you're playing with 4 people or something and you can get 3 things for 3 mana, that's absurd.
Very. It's almost good enough, like, if you were playing that many players, I'd want to play some of those processor cards from from Battle for Zendikar, so once you exile them, you can just, like, put them back in the graveyard so they can never get it. Like, they can't just blow up your enchantment to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
Or even have all the value of, like, take them from exile to your graveyard and then bounce your own thing and come back and get more things.
Yeah.
You know, cause I love building around Vincer, and that would be fun. But, anyway, but yeah, the card's good. Like I said, at worst, it's an O-ring effect or Banishing Light, and white wants basically all that it can get.
Yep. Next one I see, I don't actually like this card, but Arachnogenesis.
Yeah, it's like a fog that leaves you with a bunch of tokens.
Yeah.
Possibly. So, it's kind of situational because, you know, you don't want to have it against somebody that's beating you down with like one big creature. But, I guess you would probably read it first, but yeah, it's a pretty cool card. I really like it.
2 colorless and a green for an instant. Put X, 1/2 green spider creature tokens with reach onto the battlefield where X is the number of creatures attacking you. Prevent all combat damage that will be dealt this turn by non spider creatures. Doesn't stop Mutavault.
Does not stop Mutavault. Correct.
But the only thing I don't like about this card is that it actually completely hoses the aggro deck. I think once you cast this, it's kind of almost GG. But I think this card's really good. It's something different.
Yeah, and like, you know, if nothing else, like you know, they're not getting damage through that turn that you cast it. If, like, say they're attacking you with 3 2/2s, well, you get to eat one of them. Because mm-hmm. your spiders, you put two spiders on it and it gets, you know, blocked and, it gets killed and then we untap, you've got three spiders left over and you didn't take any damage. So it's,
I really want to get somebody who goes twin, attack you, attack with the one that has the enchantment on it. Mm-hmm. Million guys. All right, I'll make a million spiders and swing back.
Yeah, between the possible twin blowout or if they, you know, just like if I was like just shot my whole hand out for storm and go empty the warrens and then untap and try and attack with like 12 goblin tokens, and you're like arachnogenesis. I'm like, okay, good game. Yeah, we're done here. So that would be, or like even, you know, young pyromancer tokens. Say they get 3 or 4 of those going and they're 1/1s and okay. They attack with them and young pyromancer. You're like, wrap your board. I've got 5 guys now. Yep. So it just, it might not be good enough, but it, like I said, I like spiders and I like kind of blowout type cards, and I think it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So I did see there's a creature, and it's, I'm not sure if it's good enough. It's probably not, but it's the Scourge of Nil'toth, I think. Yes, but it's the 7-mana zombie dragon. It's the 6/6 flyer. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be good enough. Except for it says you may cast it from your graveyard by paying black and sacrificing 2 creatures rather than paying its mana cost. In my cube currently, I didn't go tribal vampires. I decided not to do that. But I do have a lot of the graveyard sacrifice type things that can come back. You know, I've got blood gas still. I've got grave crawler. You know, I've just got other ways of like making, especially if it's green-black, I've got ways of making little tokens, Awakening Zone, where I could definitely see, like, turn 1, Gravecrawler, turn 2, Bloodghast, and then, you know, attack with them, and then on my second main, pay 2, like, somehow pitch this guy, a million discard effects, and play it, sack both of them, and then play it, and then it's a zombie, so I can replay Gravecrawler. So I don't know. I think it's got it's just got just enough juice to it that I want to try it out. Like it's probably not good enough, but I want to try it just because it's got a zombie. It helps zombies, and
yeah,
you know, sacking the creatures that come back won't be that bad.
Yeah, spice it up, spice it up. Biggest thing that I've been on recently is I mean, if you look at the majority of people's cubes, I think for the most part, like 90% of the cards are the same.
Mm-hmm. And, at least functionally, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fun. I of course I love cubing, but I just change it up. Have some. I like having. I've drafted somebody's cube recently, and they had a counters matters thing. They had like a small archetype where Ravager was actually fairly good.
Oh,
it's just nice. Something different. I mean, they had mm-hmm. counters. They had artifacts. I was like, this is just so different that I like it. I mean. I like cubing, but, you know, I can only get twinned so many times, and I can only burn people out so many times kind of thing. So anything that's different, I, you know, full support, and I would definitely suggest going for it. Because it's not like, a lot of these cards, there's, like, the problem is that there's so many cards in terms of cube that are not, quote-unquote, embarrassing, but nobody's ever really just wanting to play them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in that camp for a long time, but now it's like, yeah, we know Primetime is the best 6 drop, but what about the next card we're about to go to? Like, there's just so, you know, there's new cards that just try something different. Don't let me be able to predict, you know, what your deck is. And with that said, what do you think about the Great Oak Guardian?
I think they finally took somebody's advice, like, wouldn't this be better with Flash? Like, yeah, you know, it would be. So,
so yeah. We have a 5-mana. 5 colorless and a green for a 4/5 tree folk. with flash, reach, and when he enters the battlefield, creatures target player controls, strangely enough, not you control, but creatures target player controls, get +2/+2 until end of turn and untap them.
So this also would go very well in like a, in a two-headed giant, because like you said, it's target player, so you can target your, like say your partner, say he's got five guys, but they attacked last turn, they're all tapped. You play this, say, yeah, all his guys get bigger and untap them, and it's like this is great big ambush. Or, you know, you just, you're attacking with people, they say no blocks because it's far from lethal, and you're like, oh, wait, no, you're dead. So, I think it's probably worth playing. Like I said, there's not a ton of, there's actually not a ton of playable, or six drops that see a lot of play, because like I said, you got prime time, and then nobody really plays anything else. They play like sevens and eights. I mean, the fours are just really jammed in, but this card could definitely win some games out of nowhere.
Yeah. We have the green, we just got the green Warden of Miraza or Moranga or whatever it is, but I mean, it's not prime time.
No.
But, I mean, it's just something different. I like, once again, I enjoy change it up, because this guy will win you a draft. Like, this guy, having this guy, and when an opponent can't, like, doesn't even think about it in green, when are you ever going to expect a six-mana flash creature? So.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to blowing somebody out with this thing. Whether it be on defense or offense, either way, it should be, get much, much card advantage out of it.
Mm-hmm. Were there anything else here? There's a couple other cards. I know you were interested in that snake.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in the Dread Summons. But it'd have to be in a real control-y deck against a deck that had a lot of creatures, because it's, like we talked about earlier before the cast, but it's a sorcery. It's 2 black X, and each player puts X cards from the top of your library in your graveyard, and for each creature, then you get to put a 2/2 zombie into play, but the problem is it's tapped. It's, since it's both sorcery and it's tapped, it's probably too slow. But I do like the thought behind it, where you're actually milling each player and you're going to get all the zombies no matter which graveyard they're in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I was trying to do the math, I think to get reliably hit probably 3 or 4 zombies, you'd have to have 7 mana. So,
do you think that's better than, do you think this card is better than Empty the Pits?
Possibly, just, I don't know, the delve is pretty strong in this instant speed. But it, isn't it like triple black, or is it quad black?
I think it's four empty the pits.
It
is.
It's been a while since I cast that card.
4 black XX, but it does have delve.
Yeah, the delve's big, but the 4 black is not so good.
It casts Crystal Brand.
Yeah. Like I said, just because you can hit your opponent's creatures, or, you know, their creatures trigger, so I don't know. Like I said, hopefully somebody else will try it out and let me know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. What do you think about the clone that would, that kind of like clone had a baby with, what's the white, Mirror Entity?
Yeah, I think it's fun. Clone effects are always interesting. You know, we always get clone with a kind of little bit of an add-on or a drawback. He's cool. I think he's pretty cool. The pump ability, I think, is very gimmicky. But it's not terrible. Because it's, yeah, this creature has, hold on.
Except it gains, this creature has base and power, toughness XX. So you just pump once and make him giant? Is that how it works?
Yeah, like say if you untap and he gets, like if you have 10 mana, you make it into 10/10.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's different. Once again, I have nothing wrong. I think this card's fine. Something different. I think it's definitely on the underpowered side, but it's still fun.
Let's see. Oh, there's one card here that just, if you just, they just took 1 mana off of it. Just 1 mana. Well, they could take a power off of it. I wouldn't care. But it's the Illusionary Ambusher. Did you see it?
Yeah, I was just looking at it.
It's a cat illusion. And, but it's 5 mana. It has flash, which is great. But it has this, that great thing of when it's dealt damage, you draw that many cards. And it's a 4/1, so obviously it's going to get eaten, but the damage draws you cards, and usually if it's got 4 power, it's going to kill something. But yeah, if it, if your thing costs like if it was a 4-mana 3/1 or something like that, I think it'd be great. But at 5, it's probably just too slow.
Yeah. I know TSG was on this for a bit. I think the cards, like you said, I think if they shaved a power or a CMC off of it, it'd be very good. But I'm just not interested in 5-mana, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Dawnbreaker Claimer?
That is the angel. Being your end step, choose a creature card in the opponent's graveyard, then that player... Oh, and you swap. That guy, I like it. The only problem is that white has such good high-end.
Mm-hmm.
And the... It is a May ability, but... So I should probably read it, right? So, beginning of your end step, choose a creature card in an opponent's graveyard, then the player chooses a creature card in your graveyard. You may return those cards to the battlefield. So you get to pick one, they get to pick one. Similar... It's like a double-sided Tassiger effect.
You're giving them their worst, and they're giving you your worst. But mm-hmm. you know, hopefully, you built your deck where you have like all the baddies.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's fine. It's yeah. I think the you can kind of put yourself in an awkward position. Sometimes, but it's fine.
Like if you kill their bomb, you're like, oh, I'll just bring it back because it's the only thing in there. But okay. Let me see.
It was the Skullwinder.
Yeah, Skullwinder, the snake. It's 3-mana. It has Death Touch, which is, I always like Death Touch on my snakes. It's a 1/3, but it says when it enters the battlefield, you may take target card from your graveyard to your hand, then choose an opponent. That player returns a card from his or her graveyard to his or her hand. So you get the Eternal Witness effect, but they get it too. You know, obviously you can time this to such, like, maybe they don't have anything good in the yard and you do. But it, like I said, it is a 1/3 with Death Touch, which I like. And it's a snake that you can pump with the legendary guy. So. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I think it's fine. It is, I'm not too big on the symmetrical effects.
Yeah.
They're a bit weird, but when, like, if you time it correctly, I just think that there's, you're putting in more effort than you're getting out of it in comparison mm-hmm. to other things. Like, you're working harder to get the same value that you would have out of something else.
Yep, it's definitely not pushed. Of course, they have Eternal Witness in the same deck that you buy. So, you know, if you don't have Eternal Witness, if you have this card, you'll have Eternal Witness too. So you're okay. I kind of like the card above it, the Centaur Vinecrasher. Once again, it's just because you can recur it. It's a 3 and a green, a plant centaur. So, yeah. Mm. With trample, it's a 1/1 with trample. And who doesn't like the 1/1 with trample? Was it some kind of badger card from
Charging Badger?
Charging Badger, yeah that was, okay, so it enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counters equal to the number of lands in all graveyards. So this could obviously be none or a lot.
In multiplayer, so, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
In two players, I think it's okay.
Well, I mean, could you imagine if you had something like, I don't know, like Life from the Loam, or if you had another dredge card, what's the Stinkweed Imp?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe Fetch Land or two, but the thing is, when a land card is put into a graveyard from anywhere, you may pay double green and you return it from your graveyard to your hand. So the recursion, and like I said, I like my rock decks. I like them real grindy, you know, like, oh, you killed my thing. Oh, well, I'll get it back. Thanks. And,
yeah.
You know, value. You know, I can imagine, like, you know, if you draft,
just put this in Legacy Lands.
Like Legacy Jund?
Well, no, just Legacy Lands. Just put it into Legacy Lands. Play one creature, just play a Centaur Vinecrasher.
Yeah.
Comes into play with 21/1 counters.
You just gotta find play that Court and Crossroads, give it haste. No, it's probably like for your stronger cubes, your more powerful stuff, it's probably not in there. But you know, if you're searching out some 4-drops, you want to switch it up or something that's splashable in like a 3-color deck, you know, if you're gonna have a lot of fetch lands, you know, this card might be something you look into. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems like, like I said, I like being able to, anything that says in all graveyards and it gets bigger and has trample, I'm like, I want to cast this to see what it does.
Mm.
So, but yeah, I think that and one artifact were kind of the last cards I saw.
Did you see that they brought back Monstrosity?
I did.
I was like, and it's so random. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, they had to have some kind of Theros card on there.
But it's all artifacts and enchantments, not you, like you don't control. It's just all of them.
All the things. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Ugh. Why? Why, Watsy? Why? So what do you think? Artifacts. What do you got?
There's this, I think it's written in French, I think, on here, but the Thought Urn, it's a 2-mana mana rock that taps for 1 colorless, but it also says you have no maximum hand size, which is kind of just, you know, flavor text almost. But it's a 2-mana mana rock. And, you know, like I said, if you just got into Magic in the last couple years, they don't print these anymore in standard sets. So, you know, you might not have your... I guess they've reprinted Mindstone recently, too. But, you know, this has an effect that could be useful, and it's a 2-mana ramp spell in colorless. So, you know, I'm thinking about playing it. But I play all the Signets, so I don't really need this. But for some cubes, they may look into it for just that colorless ramp in case you want to kind of even it out and take some of it away from green.
Mm-hmm. I do have to say, though, Blade of Selves, when I first read this, I thought it was much different than what it actually reads. It's the equipped creature has Myriad, and this was the first time I'd ever seen the mechanics. So whenever something attacks, each opponent gets a copy of that creature. And what I had originally thought it was is that when an opponent attacks, you just make a copy. Or when you attack, you make a copy attacking an opponent. I was like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then I read it, and I was like, that's pretty good. Then I read it again, and I was like, wait a minute.
What happened here? This will not be. This doesn't do anything. It doesn't give it +1/+1.
Actually, does nothing. But yeah.
Yep. So, you know, this is the commander card that's not for everybody else, but it is really cool in commander or to hit a giant or whatever. But yeah. Actually does not. Actually, just a 2-mana artifact with flavor text. Nothing. Yeah. So it's not even Null Rod because it doesn't stop anything else from doing anything.
Well,
it just does nothing.
What's that double white guy from that gets?
Oh yeah. Priest enchantment he has, and you get that token every turn. Yeah. Oh, but you see, he's legendary. Maybe they've got him in legendary cube, and they've got Blade of Selves just for him. That's what it is.
Oh my god. That'd be so...
Yeah, that sounds really bad. But it looks cool. I don't know. Oh, what about the Sandstone Oracle, the 7-mana 4/4, but you might get to draw a bunch of cards.
I'm not even thinking about these cards.
It's pretty bad. but it's colorless and it's a 4/4. Oh wait, that's a 7 at the top. Oh, it's a 7.
Oh, all right. Anyway,
but you could tinker it out though, and then you'd have like one less card than them, and you draw a card.
Yeah, and our tinker decks are swapping Blightsteel for Sandstone Oracle Voids. Let's get there.
You know, it's like wearing a shirt. Ironically, you're like,
you have to play your land first too, so you get to draw 2 cards.
Oh, exactly. You know, I could kill you with Blightsteel, but I'm going to be sneaky and kill you with this 4/4 flyer with no, like, with, you know, that would normally cost 7, but I only paid 3 and my mocks for it, so it's good.
Jeez. All right.
Okay. Normally about this time of year, you know, we're getting the Legendary Cube coming up, and hopefully after that thing goes away, it might be good. After that thing goes away, eventually we'll get the Holiday Cube. And the other good thing about the holidays is you can get this, Watsy puts out this product called the Holiday Gift Box. They started, I think, in Return to Ravnica, and actually that's what I have my cube in, is this, this cardboard box that holds a lot of Magic cards. But, the big, drawback was when they did one for Theros, and I believe the cons went after that. That was all, do it for the fall set. But the box got a lot, it was poorly constructed in those two. Like they were, the lid would fall apart if you pressed down on it too hard. But supposedly they fixed that. I read where they did increase the price, I think $5. I think it's 25 now. Is that right?
Yeah.
And, but you're getting an extra pack, and supposedly the box is just better made in a lot of ways. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. In light of getting a actual cube vault, that's not a bad place to put your cube.
Yeah, that is, you know, it's a great option. You hear, I'm sure for everyone who's listening, you've heard all kinds of great stuff about cube vaults, and Aaron Kane makes those custom hand, the custom wood boxes that you can make. Beautiful, beautiful. But they're expensive, right? And there's nothing wrong with using something a bit cheaper. So the holiday gift box is fine. I have two of them. They're excellent. If you want to watch the video, I think Wizards put it out. We'll put a link to the show notes down below. But basically, like you were saying, they just reinforced it so you can stack three on top of each other without them, you know, caving in on each other. And they put it in a backpack. And then threw them down a stair. Like they put two in a backpack and threw it down the stairs, and yeah. It came out in perfect condition. And it looks good. There's like a little section divider in the middle now, just for better stability. But that is an excellent option for, you know, cube enthusiasts.
Well, you know, as much as we as Magic players like to complain about Watsy and stuff, it's nice to be able to say, hey, they did something a little bit better this time. So.
Yeah. Maybe we can convince Elite Mortal to upgrade his Theros gift box and get the new one.
Well, he's got it in a fireproof safe, to be fair. But yeah, he does have, like, the worst gift box. He's got his, like, you know, five-figure cube in, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, so that's, once again, really cool. I'm happy, you know, within the past year we've got all kinds of product specifically designed for cube. We got the CUB3 by Ultra Pro. I don't endorse Ultra Pro products at all. I think they're really bad, but just an attempt, and you know, the awareness that this is an actual thing. While the Ultra Pro cube was slightly a play on the word rather than the actual, you know, attention to the format, just a box being able to hold a large amount of cards is just huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, literally and figuratively. So it's cool. I'm excited to see where this goes. Murray from Cube Vault, I talked to him a couple weeks ago. I was interested in picking up a Cube Vault, and you said that he said late November, early December, he's trying to put something new out, you know, make him be able to be a bit more affordable. Or I'm sorry, being able to be a little bit more mass produced, because currently the ones that he was making in the past were handmade, and he, you know, if he was to advertise them, he can't do too many of them. So there's going to be some slight changes to that, just so he can produce, you know, he can meet the demand that, you know, advertising may come on a large channel like Tolarian Community Colleges or, you know, or advertising on Reddit kind of thing. So I'm just excited, you know, I'm pumped.
Yeah, he's got the good problem to have now is his demand far outweighs his production capacity. but, you know, that's a lot of pressure too, because, you know, if you got a good product, you don't want to try and crank them out and make them, you know, significantly worse. So I'm glad he's taking the time on that.
Yep. So yeah, so that wraps up this episode. Our short Commander set review, as well as the GP Seattle talk and the holiday gift box. When's our next episode going to be, you think?
You know, there'll be Oath of the Gatewatch spoilers here pretty soon, but like if nothing else, maybe we'll get back on after we get some sweet games in with either the Legendary Cube or the Holiday Cube, whenever it comes out. So, but yeah, just want to, we've been on for a little over a year now, I think we figured it up. And, want to thank everybody that downloads and listens to us. We've, you know, we're not always, you know, every 2 weeks or anything, but we try and do an episode when something cube worthy is coming out. So, we appreciate everybody listening to that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys. And once again, feel free to contact either of us on Twitter with, you know, recommendations, thoughts, questions, anything. And where can they find you if they want to do that?
I am Quad9s on Twitter. That's Quadnines, all the way spelled out. And I've got a YouTube page where it's Quad, the number 9, and S. That's where I post a few videos about Cube from time to time. So yeah, either one of those, you can reach me with any kind of Cube questions or just Magic talk or anything like that in general.
And you can find me on Twitter at Zakeel, Z-A-K-E-E-L, Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, and on YouTube at MerfolkMagic5. I would change the name, but it's too late now. I once again, if you want to check out the vlog, I'll have that updated or uploaded hopefully in the next week, as well as a little pickups video showing all the stuff that I got and my legacy deck tech. So stay tuned for that. We'll hope to see you guys next time. Happy cubing.